Good evening. One announcement. Next week, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to Florida. So we'll be back the following week. Please remember that. In general, like I always say, always before you come, check on my website if there's no change in the plan. And the day of the lecture, divineinformation.com, on event. On the main page, you see event in the menu. You click, it shows you all my lectures from now until June, Baruch Hashem. So we're continuing our series, Psalms, and it's starting to go to some different countries, which is very interesting. How even non-Jews discovering it, I guess they Google the word Psalm, and you know how it works. The more popular the website is, it comes on the first research. That's how usually it is. So they're discovering it. So I'm beginning to get all kinds of emails from all kinds of Africans, people from Ghana, all kinds of people from different countries who are getting the shock of their life when all they know is they read Psalms as a part of the Tanakh. But now when they begin to understand, so it's interesting how these things travel. My main concern is, of course, that many of the Jews who read it daily are reporting now that they finally have more desire to read because now they understand each part, what it means, plus what it was written about. So obviously it gives them a lot more knowledge, makes it worth it for them to invest in this mitzvah of reading Psalms, which is one of the more important mitzvot, especially for the ladies. Of course, for the men also, but the ladies that don't have an obligation to learn in yeshiva, gemara, Torah so much, so for them it's a very big mitzvah to put in this Tehillim. There's many, many different groups of women who gather together on a weekly basis or on a daily basis to read Tehillim, which is very, very productive. So we finished last week chapter 30, and today we will continue from chapter 31. Little introduction to this chapter. After King Saul, Shaul HaMelech, the king, he threw his spear at King David and missed by a little bit. This was in a meal when they sat together, you know, and David had to run away for a city called Keilah, with Ain, Keilah. This is a city that the people of that city actually betrayed him. They pretend that they're his friends, and they later sent a messenger to call Shaul and his soldiers to find that he's there. The interesting part is, this story is one of the proofs in the Tanakh that Hashem knows the future. Obviously, it's common sense that God has no limitation, but where is it written clearly that Hashem is saying what's going to happen in details, not in a general prophecy? The answer right here that King David asked Hashem, will the people of Keilah will turn me into Shaul? And Hashem answered him, yes, they will. Which means clearly, this is what's going to happen. So this is one of many, of probably hundreds of proofs, but this is one of them to show that God is, by the way, one of the 13 principles of Judaism, that Hashem knows the future, control the future, etc. So he escaped from Keilah before Shaul arrived with his soldiers to the desert of Zin. There's a desert that he ran there. And by then, when he got there, also they arrived there. They basically were chasing him. And Hashem saved him by a very serious miracle. And after that, he wrote this special mizmor, chapter 31. I can give you a little bit more of a summary about it. Is uh, It's in general, this is mizmor, this is a good mizmor to read when there is cruel enemies with no mercy are chasing a person to kill him, one thing, or to hurt him. And not only that, they make fun at him, they laugh at him, and they spread rumors about him that even his close neighbors are staying away from him, believing the Lashon Hara. I shouldn't say Lashon Hara, it's called Motzi Shem Ra, because Lashon Hara means if people tell the truth about you, which still they don't have permission to tell the truth. Even if somebody does something wrong, you don't have permission to go, unless if this person is a threat to them. If you have Reuven is planning to kill Shimon, that's a different story. You have to warn Shimon from him. But if Reuven doesn't take showers, what is it the business now to spread it to the world or to write it on the internet? Just to ruin his life? Tomorrow, when a girl comes to you and she said, you know, I was offered a shidduch to get married to this guy Reuven, and you know that he has this problem, and you tell her, I just want you to know, because the Torah said that you must warn people if it's applied to them, the warning, if it's particularly to save you from the problem, then you tell them, I want you to know that he's not such a clean guy, you should check that part. I want you to know that he's a thief. He has a status of a thief. He was convicted already 3 times in theft. So before you marry someone like that, you should know it. I want you to know he's a drug addict. But if there's no particular threat to an individual, just to spread rumors about people, even if it's the truth, is a very, very big sin. So therefore, when it comes to the laws of Lashon Hara, you really need to learn a lot and to be an expert when it's allowed, when it's not allowed, when it's mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara. Sometimes it's an obligation. For instance, if you see that this girl is about to marry this mentally ill person, and you say nothing about it, you are responsible for all her suffering to come. Not to talk about if you fool her, and you lie to her, and you hide it on purpose, and you trick her, or you tell her, no, don't believe, it's not true. And based on your word, she's ending marrying this guy, even if it's your son. You have an obligation to marry your son, but not by lying to the person who his life will be destroyed because your son is a drug addict. Just because you don't want your son to stay at home doesn't mean you have to throw the problem to someone else. So there's many, many rules. Of course, it's not the topic tonight to speak Lashon Hara, the laws about Lashon Hara. But the point is that we have to know that there are many, many things to learn. When it's an obligation, when it's allowed, when it's not allowed, we have to learn all these things. Bottom line, when a person must speak and warn a person, and he doesn't, he's violating a mitzvah from the Torah that's called Lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. Do not stand on the blood of your friend while it's getting spilled. In other words, you have an obligation to protect him, to prevent his blood from spilling, to stop it, to do anything you can to help him. If you ignore him, it's like a doctor who sees someone just got hurt, and the doctor looks at him and continues to walk. If another person did it, he may get a small punishment by the court. Why didn't you try to help him? But if they find out that the person who ignored him is a doctor, one thing for sure, he'll never be able to practice medicine ever again. He's a murderer, he's not a doctor. You can't rely on a person like this, that see a patient needs help and he ignores him. Obviously, that makes it a lot more serious. So therefore, between Jews to Jews, which is brotherhood, it's not, oh, I didn't feel the need to run and warn. No, no, you have an obligation to warn. Between you and other nations, you don't have this obligation. Same thing if you find a lost object on the street, you have to do everything you can to locate the owner. If it's a pair of tefillin or something that you know it belongs to a Jew, you have an obligation to return it, to locate the owner, to put signs. If you find something that for sure doesn't belong to a Jew, or it was found in a city that does not belong to Jews, it's 99% non-Jews, you don't have an obligation to pick it up and search for the owner. Not that it's not important, the Gentiles that own it. you don't have the obligation because he's not your brother. Gentiles to Gentiles, Jews to Jews. Between you and your biological brother, or between you to a stranger, Jew, but not your brother, your brother comes first, comes before the other Jew, even if he's your cousin. Brother and cousin, brothers come first. There's a list. It's perfectly logical and perfectly normal. It's nothing to do with racism or it's not so important. It's important because obviously the Torah says you cannot steal from the Gentiles. You cannot do anything to hurt them. You cannot murder a Gentile. There's rules in the Torah that say to the Jews, Gentiles are people, you cannot do things to them. However, if they made mistakes or if they lost something, it's not. If I'm going to have to be responsible for all the things that they ever lose, I have no life. Go and try to serve 7.5 billion people. It's not realistic. Same thing, there's a question if we have an obligation to run and protect the Gentiles from their evil inclination and from their spiritual sins. Do I have an obligation to make them religious and teach them to leave Christianity and their idols and all their nonsense? I don't have this obligation. It's mitzvah to do it. But since I have this, or I have an obligation to save my own brothers that are completely living a lie in a darkness, and I have X amount of time, and this time is enough for one of the two, my obligation is not to leave my brother and to go to strangers. If, by the way, while I'm saving my brother, the Gentiles around also listen and they also make repentance, I can only gain from that. It's not a problem. It's definitely good. But to leave my brothers and to run to a place when it's going to be just non-Jews over there and to start to preach to them is not my obligation. If he's next to you one-on-one and he's about to bow down to his idol, then you tell them what you do, God hates very much. You know, things like that. But other than that, there are rules. Basically, there's rules in everything. Every question you possibly ever had in your life, you come, I'll show you where it speaks about it. Yes, why do you think Judaism have more than 100,000 different books and thick ones? Where does it come from? It comes based on the Torah we receive on Mount Sinai. We have formulas, it's like math. You have specific formulas, and it develops to many, many cases, similar cases. So let's see what this Mizmor is telling us in general. So one is that people spread rumors about him and ruin his reputation. At the same time, they chase him to hurt him. And also, even though in this Mizmor, in this song, David did not write specifically which enemies he's referring to. We know that his main enemy was Shaul HaMelech. He had other enemies, as I told you before, but the other enemies did not concern him so much because they were all wicked. This was the only enemy he had that was righteous just as much as him. So when two very righteous big people are fighting with each other because of a misunderstanding, because of, ideology issue, or whatever the case may be, that's become a problem. Because now you deal giants to giant. You don't deal giant to a little mosquito. You don't worry, if a mosquito come around you, you can handle him. But if somebody that is just as good, as strong as you come, then you are concerned. Because you know you are unable to overcome him on your own. Over here, you need a miracle. Little enemies, little 2 years old, come to fight you. You don't think, oh, Hashem, please make me a miracle that I'll be able to survive. You don't need a miracle. You give him one smack and you make him fly to the other side of the street. You don't think, oh, without it, well, how will I handle a 2 years old? But if somebody that is stronger just as much as you or even more than you, then you know, naturally I cannot do anything about it. Therefore, now I have to cry and beg for mercy and for a miracle. So he doesn't speak about which enemy we are talking about. That's open a debate. Who was he referring to? Some says, speaking about all the enemies who were jealous about him and were spreading all kinds of words about him after the story of Bathsheba. oh, if he's righteous, how did he take a woman that she was already married to someone? You know, people like to add things to the story. Or to the enemies that wanted to turn him into Shaul. Why? They didn't have anything against him personally, but it's like United States put a sign, wanted, $500,000 reward, giving you a picture of a person. He comes into your store. Why are you calling the police? You have nothing against him. You know they're giving you the money. Or if the chief of the police is your personal friend and you need a favor from him, now you have an opportunity to turn to his hand someone that he's very interested in. You don't have anything personally against that person. What motivates you is, he will owe me one, right? That's why when you're a fugitive and a person that runs after you have a political power, such as a king or a leader, your situation is a lot worse, because every person almost on the street is your enemy, because most people are corrupted, greedy, liars, and selfish. And therefore, when they have an opportunity to make money or to gain a favor or something like that, right, they will turn you in with no hesitation. How many people, they care about the truth and about what God thinks before they think about the money or what they're gonna get? Or what's in it for me? Unfortunately, not that many. So that's why your situation is a lot more dangerous when an anonymous person with no power and connection is running after you. That's already a different story. So he's afraid that all these enemies will turn him into the hands of Shaul. Also, this mizmor, we have to see, when David HaMelech wrote all these mizmorim, not all of them are only about his situation. Meaning, it's true that he was writing that as results of the situation that he was in the day he wrote it. That he's been chased, or there's a siege around him, or he has to hide, or he's in a war, whatever the case was. But at the same time when he wrote it, since it was all written in Ruach HaKodesh, in a prophecy, it was written in a way that will apply to all Jews in the history in the future to come. Which means it's not only my personal problem, it's a common problem that will repeat many, many times to many, many different people in the future. Therefore, he writes it in a way by adding all kinds of sentences that did not refer to him, but refer to us in general. For instance, over here he wrote, Kashal be'avoni kochi, because of my sins, I'm losing my strength. That didn't apply to him. He didn't have any sins, and plus he was very, very strong. As we saw, he beat the Goliath. He wasn't a weak person. So this sentence is not for him. He wrote it in general for people that will be in this situation. Now when they commit sins, obviously they lose their siyata dishmaya and they lose their strength. Also, you have to know one thing. When a person's mental situation is not steady, its effect is strength physically, because it's all in the head. The power of a person is influenced by his mental state. Which is very interesting. Many of the things that happens to us in life, it's actually false alarm. The brain understands there's danger, or there is a sickness, or there is something wrong, and it begins to send pain and vibration and anxiety attack, and sometimes sadness, but it's a false alarm. There's really no reason for all that. But you cannot always control the brain. It's like a little person sitting inside of you and run the show. So in other words, you have to reprogram the brain in a way that it will cure the problem. Sometimes the problem is real, sometimes it's not real. It's false alarm. But once the brain is convinced that there is a danger or there is a problem, he reacts accordingly. For instance, it makes you very tired. Why? You're not tired, you slept very well. It makes you tired because the brain is afraid that if you're gonna go now to do sport or hard activity, you'll damage your back even more. So it's very interesting how it's react. Mamash like a captain of the army. When he knows that the soldiers don't have a chance to win a battle, he begins to give them instruction, dig a hole in the ground, hide, put some trees about you, don't shoot, don't do anything, according to what his understanding. Maybe he's wrong. Maybe in a battle, his soldiers were strong enough to beat the enemy. But he got false information, his understanding was incorrect, and his instructions to the soldier were not good. Same thing your brain. Sometimes it gets the right reaction, sometimes it's the wrong reaction. Like I once said, most of the people who have back pain don't have any problem, nothing. And even if they have disc, you know, slight disc or anything like that, or even two, that's not the reason for the pain. Because there are millions of people that haven't and don't have pain. It's more what their brains understand. If their brains understand that something perhaps happened to your back, he sends pain over there because he wants you to check the problem, but the pain is really not necessary. Okay, let's move on. Let's read word by word. What does he write? Lamnatzeach mizmor le David. Again, most of these mizmorim, as you can see in the last few weeks, they all start the same. Lamnatzeach, which is the conductor, the songwriter, the ones who are in charge of inventing the music. Mizmor le David, a song that David wrote. Becha Hashem chasiti, I hide under you, Hashem, which means you are my shield. Alevosha leolam, make sure I will not be disappointed and ashamed forever. Betzitkatcha palteni, based on your righteousness and your honesty, which you always give everyone exactly what they deserve, please, with your kindness, help me to get away from the situation I'm in. Ate elai oznecha, please turn your ear to listen to me. Me'era atzileni, save me fast. Eyeli letzur ma'oz, be a solid rock for me. Like, you know, like you hide behind the solid rock, no matter how much they shoot and throw bones and arrows and whatever, I mean, arrows at you, they can't really penetrate that shield. Levet metzudot loshieni, become like a bunker for me. You know, a person is hiding under a bunker, there's no way you can reach him. So from this, you be my bunker to protect me, to save me. Kisali umetzudati ata, thank you. Because you are my strength and you are my protector. Uleman shimcha tancheni utnaaleni. And you will protect me for your own reputation. What does it have to do? What is the reputation of Hashem has to do from saving David or not? The answer is, when you write in the Torah that you protect the righteous, you punish the wicked. If someone does not make sins, he has nothing to be worried about. It has to be correct. You can't write one thing and do the opposite. In other words, if I'm going to die now, in other words, this is a person who knows he does not commit even one sin, nothing. He knows that he learns, he loves Hashem, he's 100% all day thinking about him. He knows himself. He knows the level of his spirituality. If he knew about himself, 1 hour he's righteous, 2 hours he's wicked, 2 hours he's righteous, 1 hour he's wicked, there's plenty of things to be worried about. Like we say in Hebrew, I'm not talit shekulat chelet. Talit shekulat chelet is an expression of a talis that it's all blue. Meaning, now in the back, it was only in the strings, it was only blue, but the rest was white. If the whole thing blue, means this is the question that Korach had for Moshe Rabbeinu. But the bottom line here is that he says, not listening to my prayer and not protecting me eventually will ruin your reputation. So do it for your name. In other words, if I'm the only religious person in front of 50 wicked people, no kippah, no tzitzit, no kosher, no Shabbat, all day lying, all day cursing, all day stealing. And I'm not like them. And I'm stuck with them in a situation. If I'm gonna get the same punishment like them, what are they going to say? There's no God. Where was God? Okay, we deserve what we got. We know what we do wrong. But what about this tzaddik? But, however, sometimes a person that looks from the outside righteous is far away from being righteous. Maybe some of the secular people are even better than him when it comes to good deeds or sins. But he looks more religious than them, from the outside. What does the Torah say about something like that? When a person looks righteous from his custom, but is corrupted and rotten from inside, you must publish him. Why? Because when Hashem will give him the punishment, all the people would blame God for not being honest. So by you publishing him, you are actually protecting the reputation of Hashem. Because when Hashem will send a punch to this person or a disease, then everyone would say, oh, now we understand why he got it. You pretend you're righteous and you're really wicked. You pretend you're holy and then we caught you doing the worst thing. So, but if people would know about what he does behind the scene, what's their reaction will be? Where is your God? He killed this terrorist, and next to it, he killed this religious guy. So if there was justice, why they both died the same way, right? How many times you heard this? Millions of times. The problem that we have here a few problems. One problem is that many people, unfortunately, that looks righteous, they're not. Hashem knows everyone what he does. That's one thing. Second, even righteous people have to die one day. And some of them die young because they don't have a reason to be here for long. Their tikkun is short. Eventually, they have to leave the world. That's the second problem. So the timing, when it happened. If he lay down in bed and died, no. At least he didn't suffer. But if he died in a horrible accident, then people begin to say, die young, die in an accident. Where was God? Where is the justice? And the third problem is that people always forget that we are not here for the first time. This is a continuation of our previous life. It's called reincarnations. How do you know this righteous person that today is really righteous? How do you know what open punishments he has from his previous life? How do you know? I just posted, you're going to see it tomorrow, on my Hebrew Facebook page, about a boy, 3 years old, that was a black woman. He described his life as a black woman. See the video, you can read the article in Hebrew, if you know Hebrew. Every day almost I get a case like this. And the little kid described all his life as a black woman, 30 years old, what's her name, where does she live? Little boy. The woman came back in the life of a boy. Tomorrow, if something good or bad would happen to this boy, it could be very well as a result of what he did when he was that woman. But how many people in the world even understand that that's how it works? One out of a million? Not even. Do you understand why people have so many complaints about the justice of God? They have no idea what's going on, Bechlal. They have no idea. It's like someone who never read the file. The judge in court has 1,000 pages of the trial. And a reporter did not read even one line. And he already make a comment in the newspaper that the judge is not fair. How do you know? There's millions of words to read. One sentence can change your opinion completely. But you never read it. Smart never took comment how he deserved it, why God did that. What are you talking about? You don't know anything. Just be quiet. You can only say, I'm very sorry it ended like that. I feel bad for the guy. Fine, that's legit. It's actually mitzvah that you feel sorry for people. But never dare to say, I disagree with the verdict. I disagree with what happened. I don't understand why God did this. This is all crimes against Hashem. When a person speaks like that, he immediately becomes a criminal. And it's much more severe than what you think. Because when you speak against a friend of yours, no, it may cause a little tension. When you speak against the president of the country, it's already bad. When you speak about the creator of the world, that your every second depend on him, you actually get him angry from your foolishness and from your comments. It's really the last thing you want now in your future, that your relationship with him is basically just became worse because you're making stupid comments about what happened to other people. That's why the Torah say, Chaim ve'amavet be'yad ha'lashon. Life and death is depend on a tongue. What would come out of your mouth next, for good or for bad, can either save your life or can kill you instantly. One word, one bad word in front of a king, especially back in the days, he'll chop your head off with his sword. The king can do everything he wants, doesn't need a trial. Takes his sword, the head is off, take him out. One good king, the king can say, don't touch him. Come, let's talk. Oh, the next day gives you a job. If you remember some of the stories I brought in past lectures, when the Ben Ish Chai wrote that they wanted to kill the thief, and he say something to the king, and the king not only did not kill him, became his best friend in the end. All right, so let's move on. So he says, you are my strength. Save me from your own name. Direct me and lead me. Direct me to the right direction. Lead me. I need a leader. I'm not counting on my strength and my talent. I'm counting on you. Take me out of this trap, this net that is closing at me like a fish in the ocean. The net is from all over. There's nowhere to run. Totzieni mireshet zu. Tamnuli ki ata ma'uzi. I'm counting on you to take me out of this trap that these wicked people are preparing for me. Be'yadcha afkid ruchi. I deposit my spirit in your hand. Here it is. Protect it. My spirit, my soul. Padita oti Hashem elemet. You redeem me. You are the strong and the truthful God. Saneti ha-shomrim avlei shav. I hate people that count on false salvation. In other words, salvation from the idols, salvation from JC, salvation from Muhammad, salvation from Buddha, salvation from all the rest of the nonsense that this world has to offer.
What about the cows?
What about?
The cows?
The who?
The
Indians pray to the cow. It's not even worth mentioning them, praying to the cow. You know, but the idea is that, like I always say, it's not only Gentiles, it's Jews as well. There are Jews also counting on nonsense. They count on nonsense. So you have to be very careful. So David wrote, I hate those who expect their salvation to come from lies and from Yeshuat Havalim. Hevel means nonsense. V'ani el Hashem batachti. You know I'm only counting on you. Not you and someone else. Only you. Which means once I say, I know Hashem will protect me and this lawyer, that's already a problem. What is the lawyer? The lawyer is a tool. Like you hold a screwdriver. You counting on a screwdriver to do the job? Later, you give credit to the screwdriver. You say, I'm the one who fixed the problem. I use tools. All the doctors, lawyers, friends, they're all tools. Can they do one thing against Hashem if Hashem doesn't want? Why are you giving them as much credit? I got lucky. My lawyer is very sharp. My lawyer, Baruch Hashem, with Hashem's help. What does it sound like? The lawyer did 90%, and Hashem gave a little push up the hill. Tony, here, I'm giving you support. No, my friend, you have to learn the priorities here. Agila ve'esmecha bechasdecha. I rejoice and I will be happy in your kindness. Asher ra'ita et oni, you saw my weakness, my desperation in my situation. Yadata betzarot nafshi, you know the suffering of my soul. You never turned me into the enemies. Lo isgartani beyad oyev. That's a pretty long mizmor, very long. You did not turn me into my enemies. E'emadeta b'merchav raglai. You directed me to freedom. Choneni Hashem, have mercy on me. Ki tzarli. I am locked in a situation. Ashesha bekas eni nafshi uvitni. My eyes and my spirit are very weak. My entire inside is much weaker. Ki kalu beyagon chayai, because my life is full of suffering, ushnotai beanacha, and my years are finishing with a broken heart. Kashal ba, all these things right now that I'm saying, this is already for future generations to come as a general prayer. None of it applies to him. He wasn't weak, he was very strong, he was very confident, he trusted Hashem, never lost hope. Next sentence, Kashal ba'avoni kochi ve'atzamai asheshu. My strength are reducing because of my sin. Obviously, he didn't do a sin. Mikol tzorerai ha'iti cherpa. From all my enemies, I became a joke. I became a subject to their jokes. Ulishchenai me'od ufachad limyudai. And also from my neighbors, those who were my friends, but because of all the bad rumors that they hear about me, they also nadedu mimeni, moved away from me. Those that heard all this lashon hara, it's a very common thing today. You know, someone comes to your neighbor and say, be careful from this guy, he's this, he's that. Ooh, wow. The neighbors from that moment on, the smiles disappeared. All their generosity went away. No more good morning, Mr. X. No more good morning, Mrs. Y. Nothing. Oh, what happened to the neighbor? Why he changed his face to me? Why? Your other friend already made sure to ruin your reputation. Nishkachti kemet milev. I got forgotten like a dead person from their hearts. Hayiti kichli oved. I was like a tool, like a broken tool that have no need in it. I throw it out. You leave it on a shelf for years now. I don't need it. How many months it takes until a person forgets his dear that died? How long does it take to completely forget? It means to come back to normal. How long? General, 1 year. 1 year, that's it. If you see a person that is suffering more than 1 year, it's very possible that the person that he thinks that he died is really alive. He's not really dead. But if he's really dead, there's gzera. It's like Hashem makes it that after 1 year, you're able to function normal. Sometimes after a month, a person goes back to normal. Depend on the situation. If his father died 40, 50, 60, of course, young, you feel bad. Short life like this. But if it was 90, he already accepted with understanding. Baruch Hashem, my father had long life. I can't complain. I still has the pain. I still feel bad, especially what the past is. Not that his father passed away, because he understand, everyone understand, we're not going to be here forever, and we actually got lucky that he made it to 90 or to even more. What really people are upset at this point is, I did not do enough for him. Because in life, you only appreciate what you have when you lose it. Then it makes you do cheshbon nefesh. Like when I was in LA that weekend, 2 months ago, one boy came, mamash ripped my heart to two. One boy, I don't know, 16 years old. A nice, cute, chubby kid, American, Ashkenazi. He came to me in a Shabbaton, and he said to me, Rabbi, why is it that people only appreciate what they have when they lose it? I just lost my father a few months ago, and I feel so bad without him, but when he was alive, I didn't appreciate him enough. Now when I lost him, I understand what I had. This was his words. No, how can you not cry when you hear something like this? But that's reality of all of us. You only appreciate what you have. How many people kicked their wife away and got divorced, and a month later they realized it was the mistake of their life? Now their life became 100 times worse. Nobody cooks for them, no laundry, nobody supports them, nobody takes care of everything for them. The children suffering. He realized, what a fool I am. What did I do from all these stupid things? He would give anything he can to go back. Then he begins to call the rabbi, "Rabbi, help me out. Ask her if she agree. I make a tshuva. I'll fix the damage." Where were you when you had something good in your hand? You don't appreciate. Later on, same thing in the other way around. Women as well. For little things that they didn't get from their husband, they rush to run out. Later, their situation become 100 times worse, and they say, "Well, I had a great husband. I don't know what went in my mind. I let him go." People let go of things that if they only had gratefulness in them, they will learn to appreciate it very much and never let go. The problem is, this is the way we are. So it says, he continue here and he says like this, "I got forgotten like a dead person, like a broken tool. I heard all the gossip that many people around me are spreading to scare everyone away from me. Be'ivasdam yachad alai, when they gather together, they united together against me. Lakachat nafshi zamamu, all they want is to see me dead. Va'ani alecha batachti, but I trust you, Hashem. I have confidence in you. Amarti elokai ata, you care about me. Why do I have to worry? Oh, my eyes is for your salvation. Be'adecha itotai, my life is in your hands. Nobody can move an inch from my life. I can shorten it by a second. No one can take one hair from my head. My life, when will I die? It's only in your hand. Even a million enemies are against me. You want to save me? You save me. You want me to die? You need them for that? I can die from a heart attack. I have to be worried about them. I have to worry if I did something wrong to you. Since I know I haven't, I have nothing to worry about. Be'atcha itotai. My time, itotai come from the word et. Et means time. Be'atcha itotai atzileni miyad oivai umirotfai. Save me from my enemies and from those who chase me. Aira panecha al avdecha. Enlight myself with your light. Shine on me. Shine your light on me. Oshieni bechasdecha. Save me from with your kindness. Hashem alevosha kikraticha. I'm screaming to you for your help. Don't make me be ashamed. Yevoshu ha-reshaim. The shame should go to the wicked people. Idemu le-sheol. They will end in a place called Sheol. Remember what Sheol is? One of the seven places in Gehenom, in hell. That's where they belong. Te'alamna siftei shaker. Lips that speaks lies should be mute. Adovrot al tzadik atak begaava vavuz. They speak against a righteous person. Words of arrogance and pride and disrespect. Atak begaava vavuz. Gaava, pride, buz. So when you put someone down. How great is your reward that you are holding for those who fear you? This is one of the sources in the Tanakh, that the real reward is waiting for all the righteous people for the world to come. You act and pay good to those who trust you, neged bnei adam, against other people that do not trust you, that get nothing. Those who trust and listen to you, the reward is waiting for them. Those who trust themselves, what reward they'll get? Tastirem beseter panecha, you hide them with the light and the goodness of your face, meruchsei ish, from all kinds of bad plans of bad people. Titzpenem besukah miriv leshonot, you make like a sukah, a cover above them from all kinds of gossips of other people. Baruch Adonai ki ifli chasdo bi beir matzor. Blessed be God that showed me wonder in a time of siege when I was surrounded. Vani amarti bechofzi, and I said when I was rushing, jumping to conclusion, nigrazti mineged enecha, maybe after all you neglected me. In other words, he says that he had a moment, a little tiny moment, that he had a little fear. Maybe after all Hashem left me. It happens to all of us. Even if we know we do so much, we always have this fear, but maybe after all Hashem has a reason not to help me this time. Achen shamata kol tachanunai b'shavi elecha. But Baruch Hashem, in the end, you listen to my begging when I scream to you with my prayers. Shava'ah means pray with screaming, but not screaming loud, meaning screaming from the heart. It can be not a loud voice, but you feel that it comes from the heart, not from the lips. It shakes the entire body. It creates tears, emotions, heat. Person becomes, you feel it, you see that this person is full of fire now. And that's called Shava'ah. Shava'atenu kabel ushma tzakatenu yodea ta'alumot. Shava'atenu kabel, accept our screaming from the heart. Ushma tzakatenu. Tzaka means loud, literally, loud scream. So what does it mean, Shava'ah? Shava'ah and tzaka. Shava'ah means, doesn't have to be literally loud, but it comes from a deep place in the heart. Tzaka means a loud scream. Like some people that have a tragedy, they really scream so loud, you get scared. Or when they cry, obviously the louder they cry, it indicates that the problem is bigger. You can see it, right? So, also it says, Vata'al shava'atam el ha-shamayim. When the Bnei Israel was screaming to Hashem from the hard work in Egypt, it used the word shavatam, their screams. What screams? They couldn't scream loud, they'll kill them, these Nazi Egyptians. What does it mean, shavatam? They couldn't really scream, but when they were whispering, it was like a loud scream coming from the heart. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam, she'akon yamidvaro. So, you actually heard it when I was screaming to you from my heart. Ahevu et Hashem kol chasidav, all the followers, righteous people of Hashem, always love him. Emunim notzer Hashem, because he's faithful and faithful to keep his promise and pay the reward. Meshalem al yeter ose gaava. Pays those who follow him and also pays the proud people measure for their arrogance and their pride. Chizku ve'yamets levavchem kol amyachalim la'adonai. We finish this mizmor, the last verse. Chizku means become stronger. Ve'yamets levavchem, Hashem will make your heart stronger. Kol amyachalim la'adonai, all those who are wishing and hoping for the salvation of God. Chapter 31 just concluded. Let's do chapter 32. We have a little bit more time today. We started late, and also I don't have a second lecture today, so I can push maybe another one or two mizmorim here with your permission. So chapter 32, in general, is the first chapter in Tehillim speaking about repentance. Repentance. The Gaon Mivilna, he said that this is a mizmor, this is a song of Yom HaKippurim. You have to say it on Yom Kippur. When Natan HaNavi, the prophet Nathan, came to David, after what happened with Bathsheba, and it was actually, the sin was forgiven when it was on Yom Kippur. In the Ashkenazi Machzor of Yom HaKippurim, they actually have this mizmor on the Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat Shuvah that comes before Yom HaKippurim. In a thick Ashkenazi Machzor, this mizmor falls on Shabbat Shuvah. This mizmor is teaching us about the power of the confessions. We know we make confessions, even the Christians learn from us that you have to confess, but they confess to the wrong one, to Father Vini. When Father Vini probably has more sins than them. You don't confess to a person, you confess to the boss. Father, put $50, your son, don't worry. Don't forget next time you come to bring me a better steak. Goodbye. You know, what is he going to help you? He himself needs to confess to Hashem 5 million years for being an idol worshiper. He's going to help your sins? Not to talk about this nonsense that they made up that JC will take the suffering for you. So very good. Father, son, look at my eraser. I erase all the list from your notebook. No. And the suffering that you're supposed to get. You see JC hanging there on the wall? Here. Catch JC. They have a little 50 pound of suffering to take. You understand? I wonder where is suffering gonna end? If 2 billion people throw their suffering on him every day. What is this nonsense? The Torah says, Bechetoy Yumat, everyone is responsible for his actions, everyone receives his own punishment. You don't get punished for someone else. You don't suffer for someone else. You only responsible for you. You can't take the suffering from someone else. You can pray. If Hashem would agree, we'll do it. But I'm taking your suffering on me. Relax. So it says that it falls on a Shabbat before Yom HaKippurim by the Ashkenazim. It teaches us about the power of the confessions and also the help that we get by receiving suffering. Eventually, it helps us a lot, especially if we don't complain about it. And also about the faith, still teaching us about faith in general. Also teaching us about not to be dumb like the horse and the mule, which is half donkey, half horse. We'll soon understand why from all the animals, he warned us not to be like them. Also, Rabim Machovim LaRasha, a person that is wicked, has full of lots of pains and aggravations nonstop. V'abotech b'Hashem chesed yisovevenu. Someone that trusts Hashem is surrounded by a shield of protection thanks to his confidence in Hashem. Yesterday I gave a lecture in Brooklyn. The topic was confidence and faith in God. 2.5 hours, one source after the other. Like a cyclopedia for life about, and obviously I didn't even cover 1% of the sources. It's just as much as you can do in 2.5 hours. I gave plenty of sources there yesterday. That was one of them. This verse was one of them. And there is a question about this verse. If it's referring to one person or to two kinds of people, which I'm going to explain when we finish this mizmor. So we are in chapter 32. Le David maskil ashrei nesui pesha kesui chata'a. This is what we say in Yom Kippur. It says, this mizmor that David wrote What does it mean, maskil? Maskil means educate. It educates us about certain things. Ashrei nesui pesha kesui chata'a. How lucky is a person that his crimes are forgiven and all his sins are covered and erased. Ashrei adam lo yachshov Hashem lo aven. How lucky is the person that Hashem does not have one bad thought about him or to do to him or to pay him any bad. That you clean in the eyes of Hashem. How lucky you are. Not one bad word he has to say about you. If you send a fax to Hashem, I should say email. Fax is already history. So you send email to God about a guy you want to get married to. And you want references. And you get an email from Hashem. I don't have one bad word to say about this individual. Would you marry him? You want to marry him. You don't care about the condition. I want a husband like this. Hashem doesn't want bad word to say about him. Everyone has a list of bad things. This one clean. How lucky is a person that you come to Hashem? What do you think about this individual? I don't have one bad word to say about him. That's a real achievement. So he's saying, how lucky is the person that Hashem lo yachshov Hashem lo avon. There's no, Hashem does not have any avon, any sin that this person has in his file. Clean. Clean sheet. Ve'en beruchor remia. And in his spirit, in his thought, there is really no deceiving, no lying, no tricks, nothing. Clean. Ki echerashti, because I was silent, meaning I did not make confessions, because echerashti, balu atzamai b'shagati kol hayom. My bones are rotten from crying, from pain all the time. In other words, if I confessed on time, I didn't have to cry so much when I paid the price for all my sins. The confession has a strong power to prevent punishments and tragedies that are on the way to the person. That's why Chazal put it 3 times a day. They could have put it once a month, once a week, once a day, 3 times a day. Morning prayers, right after the Shmona Esrei, attached to the Shmona Esrei. Mincha and Kriyat Shema on the bed, 3 times a day. Why so many times? Because between morning to afternoon, it's already 6-7 hours, there's plenty of time to make sins. One bad conversation with Lashon Hara, already thousands of sins. Right away, confession. Between Mincha and you go to sleep, also can be a lot of sins. So every few hours, you confess. Why? If you only make one confession a day, morning, let's say, between now until tomorrow morning, 24 hours, plenty of time to make sins, it's too much. You gain already too much. You die, you come in front of Hashem, you can have 1,000,000 sins in one day. So, therefore, every few hours, confession, that when you die, after the confession, how many sins you already have? Which means it's teaching you about the power of confession, how important it is when a person wants to do tshuva. But of course, one of the conditions of the confessions is that a person leave the sin. If a person say, I went with Christine, forgive me, and he has a meeting with her 1 hour from now. Hatati, I'm mechalel Shabbat, I'm sorry, I'm violating Shabbat, I'm not keeping Shabbat, please forgive me, I'm so sorry. He has a picnic on Shabbat in the park. He's on the way to the supermarket to buy steak to barbecue on Shabbat. What kind of confession is this? It's called Tovel Vesheretz Veyado, going inside the mikveh and holding a dead pig. What is this? When you confess, you have to have full intention to leave the sin. If tomorrow you break and you repeat the sin again, okay, it's a new start. It's a new sin, a new confession will follow. But at the time of the confession, you have to have intention to leave the sin. If you have no plan to leave the sin, better don't confess, don't make yourself look like a fool. Someone who fasts on Yom Kippur and comes to Shul, Chatan, Avinu, I'm so sorry. He has no intention to leave his sin, continue to be Mechalel Shabbat. What is this? You're coming and lying in front of Hashem? I doubted if he won't get extra punishment for his chutzpah. That's a doubt that I have in my head. Maybe after all, he comes supposedly to do tshuva, but he never have any intention standing in front of Hashem and lying 25 hours of Yom Kippur. I doubted if he'll get away with that chutzpah that he has. You know, better you just come and say, I'm sorry for what I'm doing, I'm sorry, help me to stop, than to say, I promise to stop, I stop, accept my tshuva. What tshuva? You don't have any intention to do tshuva. No repentance here. You come to pray to me to help you, fine. It's kosher, pray. But to come and claim that you're making today repentance, tshuva, and you don't have no intention to do so, that's a lie. And Hashem doesn't like liars, as we all know. So he continues here. It says, if I would make confessions, now I wouldn't be in a situation that I am. All my bones are collapsing and rotten from crying, from pain, because of what's coming to me. That's not him. It's a general prayer that he designed for day of repentance, for Yom Kippur. Ki yomam v'alayla tichbad alay yadecha. Day and night, your tough hand is hitting on me. Today I got an email from someone. I don't know what to do, I'm helpless. One problem after the other for a while already. I don't know what to do. Desperate already for my situation. It comes in waves. When Hashem decides to deal with someone, the last thing you want is to be that someone. Because it can go on and on and on and on. And a person, like the Torah say, tragedy in the morning, before you digest it, you already have one in the afternoon. Before you got used to the new one, you already have one in the evening. That's what the Torah, it's a clear verse in the Torah. V'ayita meshuga mimarei enecha. You become crazy mentally from what your eyes see. Why? You brought it on yourself, my friend. Don't blame me. How the King Solomon wrote, Ivelet Adam tesalef darko, ve'al Hashem yizaf libo. Stupidity, the foolishness of a person will turn him away from the right direction. And who is he going to blame in the end? God, not himself. God, it's all his fault. Where was God at here? Where was he in the Holocaust? Where was he when this war happened? Where was he when we lost all our money? He was always there. The problem is what we did. Don't blame others, blame yourself, be honest. I always say to people, whatever problems you have and whatever punishment you get, first thing you have to say, thank you Hashem, it's only this. No matter how bad is the punishment. If this is the way you react, on the next time you deserve a punishment, your lawyer in heaven, the defense, the angel that protects you, will be able to have a very solid claim. And say, look at my client. I know you're planning to give him another punishment. But let's see how he behaved on the last punishment you gave him. He justified it, he accepted it, he felt bad, he said, I know I deserve worse. Do you want to punish a person like this again? How does it look when he comes and says, I don't deserve it. What does Hashem want from me? I don't know what he wants. He's too strict with me, I can handle it. I'm tired of it. What is this religion helps me? There's a big difference on your next time. What's going to happen to you? When you react like this, or when you react like that, and every fool understands that simple common sense. You don't have common sense? Read. If you have common sense, 90% of what you write, what you read, you don't even need. It's simple common sense. Those who don't have common sense, or is very limited, stick to the text at least. What you can't understand with your brain, understand from the writing. You don't understand how to read? Come to a person that knows how to read and explain and accept it as a fact. You don't want to do that? You'll pay the price. So he says, your hand is heavy on me. hitting me strongly. Ne'epach leshadi becharbonei kayitz ela. My saliva, like a person has a wetness or humidity, I don't know how to call it. It becomes dry like a dry desert. In other words, it's an expression, is my life was wet and nice and juicy, and now it became dry, horrible. Chatati odiacha v'avoni lo kisiti. I'm revealing my sins by confessing to you. I am not trying to cover my avonot. What's the difference between chet and avon? Chatati, aviti, pashati. What's the difference? Chatati means not intentionally. Accidentally. Aviti, avon means intentional sin. Pashati, pesha means not only it's intentional, I'm looking to do it to get you angry. Baruch Hashem, most of the Jews I met in my life, they're not poshim. They either chotim or ovrim avonot. But really poshim, maybe 1 to 1,000 you find one. Most of us, either not intentional sins or intentional sins. What does it mean intentional sin? Eat something not kosher because it's delicious. That's an intentional sin. You're not doing it to get God angry. You're just a loser. That's all. You can't deal with your desires. But if you say, you know what? If I had right now the same steak kosher, same taste, of course I'll eat the kosher. I'm not doing on purpose to get God angry. Poshea means they give you the same exact thing kosher. Excuse me. The same exact thing kosher. And what happened? What do? You eat from the non-kosher. Thank you. So as soon as a person gets to this level, now his tshuva, is much, much, much harder. Why? You did all your life to get me angry, and now what do you think? You're going to get away with that? So the point is that David HaMelech writes here, I'm not trying to cover for my sins, as you know, I'm confessing to you 100%, and I'm not trying to cover my intentional sins as well. Sometimes a person come and say, only the sins that he made, not intentionally. But when he has to say the sins that he does on purpose, he covers them. Why? That's already too much. When I come and speak to my friends, you know, I did this once, thank you. I did this once, I did that once. The friends are not so. They say, okay, look, everyone does not intentional sins. They're not holding you as a criminal or as a big sinner. Why? Not intentional sin, even righteous people do sometimes. However, if you come and begin to say, I eat in McDonald's, I do this, I steal, I sometimes go outside and smoke on Shabbat. Next time when you have friends coming over, you don't want this guy. Why? It's not, it's wicked. So David said to Hashem, I'm not coming and telling you all my not intentional sins, but when it comes to the intentional sins, I'm covering it. No, I open everything on the table. This is what I am. But again, this is not speaking about him personally. This is a general prayer for generation, for the Jewish people to say on Yom Kippur. In the entire Yom Kippur ideology, how to behave on a Yom Kippur. On the 40 days of tshuva from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur. So he says, Amarti, I say, I will admit my crimes to Hashem. So look, he started chet, then avon, now he's talking about pshaai, pesha. Cover all three different categories of sins. Obviously, David HaMelech didn't make crimes to get Hashem angry on purpose. So you can see here that he's talking in general for the Jewish nation, which has all kinds of people. By the way, this even helped the Gentiles. The Gentiles also, if he comes to do repentance and cry to Hashem, he has mercy on him. What's the proof? Hashem sent Yonah the prophet to Nineveh to tell them, be careful before I'll destroy all of you. And they did tshuva. They fast. They put ashes. They sat on the floor and cried to God to forgive them, and he did. So we see from here the goyim can do tshuva. Even though in some of the books I've seen that some claims that they can't. Once they committed a sin, finished. We see a clear proof from the Tanakh that it's incorrect. If the goyim cannot do tshuva, why Hashem bother sending Yonah all the way to Nineveh to warn them? Just kill them and finish. The answer is they can also do tshuva. So it says, V'ata nasat avon chatati sela, and you forgave my sins and my intentional sins for eternity. You wiped it out. There's no memory of it. Al zot itpalel kol chasid elecha le'et metzo. For this, every chasid, chasid means above righteous. Is righteous? There is extra righteous. That's called chasid. For that, every chasid has to pray to you le'et metzo. What does it mean, et metzo? Et means time. Metzo means when he finds you. When he finally finds you in this hour of his life. Because all of our life is ups and down. You have days that you're close to Hashem. You have days not so much. And you have days you're on the beach. Your mind is in Christine, not in Hashem. You're very far away from Hashem today. Or in a wedding that you went to, when all the naked people dance like monkeys, now you're going to be close to Hashem. Now you're in a safari. So sometimes you're in Beit HaMikdash in your mind. Sometimes you're in Miami Beach on a beach. Sometimes you're in a zoo. So finally, when you're inside Beit HaMikdash, meaning your soul is finally pure for a few hours, I can't even say a few hours, it's rare. I say a few minutes, few seconds. Take advantage on that opportunity. It's et ratzon. It's a moment of ability. El zot itpalel kol chasid elecha le'et metzo. When you feel close to Hashem, take advantage on those moments. When you just read the Tehillim of the day, 20, 30 minutes, you feel great feelings, or you just came out of the mikveh, or you just did a very big mitzvah. Very big mitzvah. I know, you gave a 2 hours lecture, people made tshuva, I'm accepting to keep Shabbat. It's a moment. Now ask Hashem what you want. Right after. Why? It's et ratzon. It's a moment of happiness. You know when you come to your husband when he's in a very good mood. How much? Right away, extra few zeros on the check. How much you need, honey? But when you come and you had a bad day in the stock market, don't talk to me about money now and for the next 3 months. Why? It's time now to spend more. This is the way the world is. There's moments of happiness and moments of aggravation. So it says, Rak leshetef maim rabim elav lo yagiyu. What? Someone that is doing that will get saved from the flood. If the flood comes and drown all the wicked people, they won't touch you, those water. He's not talking literally about water. He's talking flood of tragedies, a big war, bombs are falling in town, epidemic, people have disease. Ebola, people already forgot about the Ebola, but the Ebola is still around and killing thousands of people. But they made sure to clean it from the media because it will destroy the economy. People continue to die. It's contagious. But nobody hears about it anymore because they know. If you're going to continue to speak about it, all the malls will be empty. Nobody walks in the street. People don't go on flights. People are afraid. It will ruin the world. So they say, we will continue to do whatever we can, but the problem is still around. Ata seter li mitzar titzreni. You are my shelter that I have a place to hide. From problems you keep me away. Rani, Rane, Falet, Soveveni, Sela. What does it mean, Rane? What does it mean, Rina? Special song of joys. Rane, Palet, Soveveni, Sela. My songs for the salvation that you just gave me will always surround me for eternity. In other words, I want to be on the side of those who praise and sing to you for their salvation, or God forbid, not on the other side of those who got the punch and got destroyed. As kilcha ve'orcha bederech zo telech, I will teach you some brains, some common sense. Ve'orcha bederech zo telech, I will direct you in the right positive direction that you should go into. I'atza alecha eini, I will advise you as positive in my eye. Al tiyu kesus kepered, David writes, I'm giving you an advice. Don't be like a horse or a mule, which is a baby of a horse and a donkey creates mule. It looks half horse, half donkey, and it cannot have kids, cannot continue to give birth. Why? Because it's a merge between two species. So the point is, why from all the animals, David said, don't be like a horse, like a mule? He could have said, don't be like a camel. Don't be like a chimpanzee. Don't be like a snake. Don't be like a pig. There's many examples. From 2 million species exist in the world that we know of, probably there's much more. Do you think that is coincidence why he used a horse? The answer, of course not. Why did he use horse? Who knows why? The answer is, what's special about horse? Two things happening with the horse. One thing that happened with the horse is when you sit on a horse and run and you have this whip and you hit the horse begins to run faster. There's always a question, why the horse run faster when you hit him? How does he know you want him to run faster? Maybe you want him to stop. Why does he run faster? When you hit the horse, sometimes when you hit someone that runs, he stops. Maybe you don't want him to run. Why the horse run faster? You hit him again, would run faster. So all the race, horse races, they hit them constantly all the time with their legs because it makes them run faster. Why? Because the horse in his mind is thinking, someone hurting me. Someone is hurting me. I run away from this someone. I have to run away from that pain. So he runs faster. You hit him again, he runs faster. But his brain is not a person. He doesn't understand someone who rides on you, you can run away from him. So David HaMelech say, when Hashem begin to smack you and wake you up, don't run away from those smacks. You can't run away from Hashem. You run away from one problem, you're going to get a bigger problem. Instead, calculate and begin to think what Hashem wants from me. Why I lose money? Why I became sick? Why I cannot find shiduch? What am I doing wrong? There's no coincidence that I have this problem right now. Something is causing it. So you begin to do cheshbon nefesh. Maybe I don't get up early in the morning. Maybe I don't pray. Maybe I hate to pray. Maybe I hate to pray. I have no choice. I'm afraid to get punished. But I hate it. That's already a very big problem. I give you an opportunity to meet me 3 times a day, one-on-one, and you disrespect it? That's already enough reason for all the tragedies. So what are you complaining about? Maybe I'm not honest in business. Maybe I'm not generous enough. Maybe I eat like a pig. Maybe I'm proud. Maybe I have ego. Maybe I'm arrogant. Maybe I curse. Maybe I watch movies. Maybe I watch dirty things on the street. Maybe I make sins with the ladies. Maybe I speak dirty to the ladies. Maybe I'm a horrible husband. Maybe I'm a horrible father. I have another million maybes. Should I continue? Probably you got the point, no? After 50 examples. It's clear? I see smiles. I have to see tears now, not smiles. when we probably all the ones of the list almost we are guilty of. So the point is that David said, don't be a horse. someone is after you, so you run away from him. No. Say, oh, before you hurt me, what do I have to do to fix things between us? You owe me $100. Oh, that's the problem? No problem. Here is 50 now. Come tomorrow, I'll give another 50. I apologize. Goodbye. You don't have to run ever again. That's called tshuva, repentance. Same thing, another example from the horse. What is it? When the horse comes to drink, always his leg goes and hit the water like this. Boom, boom, boom. Always hit on the water, you see circles. Why? Who say when you drink, you have to go like this? Imagine we go now to drink, and you know, in the airport, they have these coolers. Yeah, I think I'm the only one who drinks from it. Everyone buys bottles. People are so spoiled, they don't drink any more water from the faucet. Like 30 years ago, what was the options? For 2,000 years, you drank water from the garbage. Holes in the ground, screen it as much as you can and drink it with the sand. But the water are not 100% delicious, Rabbi. So you pay $5 or $3 on a stupid bottle in a restaurant or the airport. That's how they fooled. By the way, in case you don't believe me, I'll show you that they tested all these bottles and they say that the water from the faucet are better. After all this scam, billions of bottles are sold every week. In reality, the water from the faucet in most places is better and cleaner and everything is fine. So what's the solution? The solution is, David say, why the horse is hitting the water? Imagine a person come to the cooler in the airport. He goes like this to drink, and he goes like this. 5,000 goyim walks. They see this Jew like this. So maybe something happened to his shoulder. Something happened to his shoulder. Then 10 minutes later, he takes a bottle like this. What do people say? It's probably a terrorist or crazy one. Take him away from here. Why does the horse go like this? The horse, when he comes to drink, he sees another horse on the water, like a mirror. And he says, you come to steal my parnasa? You come to steal my water? So he chases him away. Don't be a competition. Don't open a store across the street. You take away my parnasa. Take away my parnasa. So David HaMelech said, don't be a fool. You can't run from the suffering and nobody can touch your parnasa, your living. Whatever is yours is yours. What do you worry, fight against your competition, destroy him, ruin his reputation? What for? What for? So, don't be like a mule or like a horse. אין הבין במתק ורסד אדיו לבלום בעל קרוב אליך. Translation. They don't have wisdom, no intelligence. Animals, they behave with instinct. Even though sometimes it looks like they do smart things, don't be impressed. They are programmed always to behave the same. Always. They make the nest always the same way. They see fire, they will run. They see water, they want to jump in. They're hungry, they attack. They are programmed. They can't tell the difference between unique situation, when it's recommended, when it's not, when you should act, when you should stay still. They don't know. They don't have this wisdom of human being because they don't have a divine soul. If a dog sees master drowning and he runs to help him, he's programmed like that, especially different kinds of dogs. Hashem designed the world that every animal will contribute to the world in a certain way. He programmed the dogs and the cats that when they go to the bathroom, they flush in a primitive way. They cover. Why? To teach all the fools out there, if you are forced to do on the street, make sure that other people won't get disgusted when they see it. Don't be worse than a dog or an animal. So from every animal, we have to learn something like the Gemara in Masechet Eruvin say, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Il male nitna Torah, Ainu lemedim derech eretz me'achatul v'atarnegol. If we would not receive the Torah, we would have to learn manners from the animals, from the cat, from the rooster. What can you learn from the cat? I said, What can you learn from the rooster? Before he gets intimate with his female, he goes around her for about half an hour, entertain her. After she's in a good mood, Baruch Hashem, the show begins. But until then, he never forced himself on his female. Not like some angry guys come home, what's going on? Why are you like this? He has complaints. She didn't accept him in romantic matter. Rabbi, what kind of wife I have? I come home, I have one wife, and she's not in a mood for me. People are not machines. They have sadness, pressure, depression, fatigue after giving birth, cooking all day, you know. It's not a machine. You press a button, it's green. You press another button, it's red. It doesn't work this way. However, the Torah teaching you how you can fix certain things. Some women, they can have a horrible day. All day they upset, they go crazy. The husband come home and she revealed to him what a horrible day she had. One or two sentences that he understand her and he feels very bad. Why didn't you call me? I would come to help you. Don't worry, next time I'll make sure you have a better help. Or something like that. Act of support, in 1 second, all the frustration of the day is out of the window. I just come to you, my dear husband. One or two words from you, the problem is gone. However, there's some husbands, oof, all day you complain. I can't have you anymore. Not enough, I have my own problems. I come home to hear your problems. So she say, Kasher avadeti, avadeti. Then he wonders why she looks outside and another man at work comes and gives her compliments and gives her attention and brings her water. Or can I buy you something? I'm going to eat. Oh, someone after all cares about me. I'm not just a slave 20 years in the house and get abused verbally nonstop, sometimes physically. One person from Israel, a woman, sent me a long email begging me to make a lecture about a worldwide epidemic. Husbands who beat their wives. Basically, horrible violence, mamash punches and hits, and ended up in hospital, not once and not twice. And she's afraid to complain. She's not going to call the police. You know how it is. It takes advantage on her weakness. It's a shame to even make a lecture about this, really. But what can we do? If that's the situation, if she's right, she's claiming that she's dealing with these problems. I guess maybe she's a social worker or something. I also heard from another social worker here in New York that this is a very common problem. You may think, okay, this problem only exists by secular people or by drunk goyim that came from the bar. The answer is no. It exists even by religious people. Or at least they think they're religious. A religious man hit his wife. A religious man don't hit any person, ever. Not even raise his hand to hit someone, because as soon as he goes like this, he's wicked already. That's a verse in the Torah. Ve'larasha amar Hashem lama takere echa. One Jew was about to hit the other Jew, and Moshe Rabbeinu came, there was Datan and Aviram, and the Torah said, ve'larasha amar Hashem lama takere echa. He didn't hit him. Why you plan to hit him? Hashem is calling him Rasha, wicked. Before he hit him. After he hit him, he's already a big criminal. Now, if he hit a stranger, just another Jew, then he's a criminal. If he hit his wife, which is probably the person that he owes the most in the whole world, not only is a criminal, he's the master of all criminals. And he has a very, very juicy, painful hell when he dies, this person. And the wives who tolerates it, I have only one word to tell you. You're a total fool. If it happened once, you don't break the marriage after one incident, but you must take care of it. If it happened twice, you must report him. You must call the police. You go and make a lawsuit against him, and you break the marriage. You cannot live with an animal. If your husband is an animal, you must get rid of him. If he's not hardworking, you have to work on a problem. If he's proud, you work on a problem. Even if he gets angry, nobody's perfect. He hits you, violence, your life is in risk, your health is in risk. You must get rid of him. And all these women who were afraid in Israel to get protection from the court, some of them get murdered in the end. There's not one week in Israel that a woman doesn't get murdered by a husband. Check the statistic. Sometimes 3 a day.
What about if it's the other way around?
If the wife beat up the husband, I think he can handle it. I never saw a husband that admitted to the hospital because his wife gave him a punch and broke his bones.
Exist?
Of course, so yes, he needs protection. Tell him to come to me. I'll cheer him out. If his wife giving him some punches, he can also take actions against her, obviously. It's just not as common. I know a person that told me that his wife is so crazy that when she gets angry, she knocked down the fridge. That's how strong she is. For a big refrigerator. She pushed it down and it fell on the floor. Can you believe it? Make cracks on the tiles. So that's after he divorced her. So I say to him, I wonder how after that incident you're still married for 2-3 years. You understand? So yeah, you're right. There's an exception to the rule. Usually it's not the case. Also, much before we finish, we'll have to finish this mizmor. I'll show you the way. I'm giving you my advice. Don't be like your horse. What's with the horse? That they don't have intelligence. You have to stop them from doing bad things by putting a cover on their mouth that they won't bite or they won't eat something that doesn't belong to them, because what do they understand about being righteous? It's animals. All right? Edio means the peh, the peeve, the mouth. The only way to stop him from doing something negative, it's to force him by covering him, by putting a leash on him, by putting a cover on his mouth. Don't be an animal. This is what David HaMelech said. This is my advice to you. You are a human being. You're not an animal. You behave like an animal. Run to the yeshiva. Take a time out. The Torah will clear the cancer, the spiritual cancer from you. You come out of the yeshiva, you'll be a human being. If you behave like an animal, you cannot control your mouth, you can't control your actions, you cannot control your violence, you can't control your addictions. You only have one place you can be. It's the yeshiva. You need a kosher yeshiva. You have to stay there for a few months or at least a few weeks. Then you'll see the results right away, how the Torah purifies you from inside. Rabbi machovim la'arasha. Many pains to the wicked person, different kinds of pains. And someone that trusts Hashem will be covered, shield, special shield around him from chesed, kindness. There's big arguments between the Chachamim if this verse is speaking about righteous or wicked and wicked or speaking about the same person. Let me explain. Rabim achovim la'rasha. Many different pains to the wicked person. And someone who trusts Hashem is protected from tragedies and problems. The question between the Chachamim is the second half of the verse. Is it continuation of the first or it's a separate subject? Meaning, someone who trusts Hashem, even if he's wicked. Because the beginning of the verse, speaking about a wicked person that have lots of agony and pain and frustration in his life. One little thing doesn't work, he's already go full of anger, he cannot take it, he has no patience, I can't stand it. Fights with everyone, because he is expecting everything to be for him ready. So what's going on? Even if he makes millions, he's angry. Even if he has a good wife, he's angry. He has good kids, he's angry. He will always find what to be angry with. Why? He's Rasha. He's wicked. What do you expect? The question now, but someone that trusts Hashem has special protection from punishment because he's trusting Hashem. Who are we talking here about? The second half of the verse, we're talking about righteous. We started the verse speaking about the wicked, and then he went into the righteous. Or he's still talking about the same wicked from the beginning of the verse. That if he's wicked that doesn't trust Hashem, he has tons of problems. But if he's a wicked person with emunah, at least he has faith, and he knows everything is from Hashem, still wicked, he still has a lot of problems with him, he still doesn't keep all the laws, he still shaves with a razor, he still eats not strictly kosher, he's still not so modest, but when something happened, you know, Hashem, you did it, I know. Someone like this, thanks to his faith, if he's wicked, Hashem helps him to get what he wants or to protect him from problems because of his faith. The answer, both of them are correct. The Gaon Mivilna writes, even Rasha, even wicked that have high confidence in Hashem, Hashem does things for him above nature. And needless to say, if you're righteous that have confidence in Hashem. If wicked, righteous is needless to say. So, Rabim Achovim La Rasha, Vaboteach Behashem, someone who trusts Hashem, is protected, chesed, yesovevenu. Simchu Behashem, Vegilu Tzadikim. Be happy in God, Gilu, rejoice, righteous people, Vaarninu Kol Yishrei Lev, and have Renana. Sing a special song. All of those who their heart is clean and honest. We finish the chapter 32. And it's very interesting because you know that this mizmor, as I told you, is very recommended in times of repentance. 40 days of tshuva, 10 days of tshuva, from Rosh Chodesh Elul to 10th day of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. This mizmor is a very good mizmor because first he's teaching about repentance, second he teach about confessions, third he teach about confidence in Hashem. He teaches so many things in one chapter. He's already teaching us so many things. He teach about not to run away from the suffering. Actually, the suffering is good for you. However, you have to do tshuva. You make repentance. So how many concepts in Judaism and in life in general we learn from this chapter alone? So many things, repentance. How would we know there is repentance? Here you go. Repentance, forgiveness, faith. Whatever you deserve, it's yours. Nobody can steal from you. You can run from the suffering. Sing and pray and thank Hashem for all the greatness that He does for you. Never cover for your crimes and for your sins and pretend you are something special. I'm not telling you to run in the street with a sign. You know, what am I? I'm gay. I'm mechalel Shabbat. I'm a murderer. I'm a rapist. No. That's not what we say. But when you stand especially in front of Hashem, things you embarrass from the people, it's normal. Didn't come to scream in the street what you do wrong. But at least when you stand in front of Hashem, when you whisper, you know what you do wrong. Confess, regret, be ashamed, except never to repeat it. Yom Kippur would pass, accept the suffering with love, and you'll be more than good. If the tshuva will be in a very high level, some of these sins will turn into mitzvot in your account in heaven. So not only you won't get punished for that, it will turn into a reward. Retroactively, you would say, oh, I wish I'd do some more sins back in the days, because they all turn into great reward. But don't count on this kind of tricks. Why? I can tell you today that in 20 years that I work in with the public and making all this Baalei Tshuva, that I can count on one or maximum two hands how many Jews I met that made tshuva out of love. Most of the people do tshuva out of fear and some love. Of course, there's some love. We all love Hashem to some point. But mainly fear from the punishment. Fear from what we're going to lose. Fear from what we are not getting because we know we're not right. That's what motivates most people. Once in a blue moon, you meet a very, very high soul. You don't need fear with him. You just tell him about the truth, about God, about what he has done for us, about how lucky we are that we are the nation who received the Torah. It's enough. He already ignited. And from that moment on, you will beg him to leave the Torah. You can't. Because all he will do right now is going to be in spiritual world. Because all he needed is the first spark. But how many people like that you have? Some people, they reach a level of big rabbis. 2 or 3 bad weeks, they go down to a level of a complete full beginner on the street. So you can see 1 or 2 weeks without connection to the Torah, Shem Yirachem. Don't be surprised you find him in a casino next week. Kvar ayu dvarim me'olam, or in worse places even. Why? Because it is the nature of the soul. Soul that are not so high spiritually, every little thing around, right away drop him down. Souls that are naturally high, they just can live otherwise without connection to Hashem. David HaMelech was one of them. Attached to Hashem non-stop every second of his 70 years. Guaranteed. Every second is a special level. What? But from this kind of people we have to learn. Abraham, David, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron. Those are the people we have to learn from. Not O.J. Simpson and his friends. Your heroes. Posters all over the wall of the children. Exchanging baseball cards and football cards of people that even to hell they can't enter. Drug addicts, mufkarim, lack of modesty, thieves, all kinds of people like this. This is the heroes, movie stars, this gay guy, this murderer, this rapist, this drug addict. This is the heroes of the teenagers today. That's the one they idolize. Shame on us that we came to such a level that this is the hero of society. In a normal environment, these people would not be allowed to enter the house of a normal person. From how rotten they are in a spiritual way, not to talk about the atheist. I had a lecture last week in Englewood on Thursday. There was an 80 years old man, American. Some of you maybe saw it already. I get a lot of comments about it. The nonsense that he was talking, the ears until now hurts. This is almost a week. My ears hurts until now. Person that has degrees, went to university, learned so much science, is intelligent, his English is very rich, it's not a dumb bum from the street. And his brain has zero common sense, zero, not even 1%. You ask him, do you think a brilliant creation like this was made by an accidental explosion? He answers, of course. Someone like that, in my opinion, must be hospitalized in a mental institution with 50 bars around him. It's an insult to the intelligence of the normal society. Insult. The only problem is you're going to need a jail size of the moon, or maybe bigger. Where are you going to fit all the fools? The idea is that we won't be with them. We got to be clever, not to fall into the same stupidity to think that these things happen by itself and there's no boss to the creation. Thank you very much. Huh? Oh, so one more announcement. In 2 weeks from now, on the 20th, I have a Shabbaton in Crown Plaza Hotel in New Jersey. There's only a few more places left. It's gonna be a beautiful weekend with another speaker came from Israel and myself, English and Hebrew, delicious food and a great singer. And a beautiful weekend from Friday to Sunday. You can see for details in a flyer on my Facebook page. Pesach, Passover, we have a special Passover 9 days in a hotel in New Jersey, Radisson Hotel, with this delicious caterer, Simcha, the Bukharian guy. I participate in some of the events that he was the cook. Better than delicious. Yes, and there is also speeches and Leila Seder, two nights, all the things. You can also get details. It's gonna be a special Passover, very entertaining. There will be activity for the kids. There's some sports there. There's pools for boys, for girls. Bottom line, many of the women thinking, I hope my husband will approve. We don't have to kill ourselves with preparation for Pesach. That's also a way out. All year people prepare for that moment with fear. Now, you know, at least you don't have to kill yourself. But the most important thing, it will be a spiritual holiday for you. Speeches, lectures, activities, rest. Beautiful. If you're interested, again, we will publish information on my Facebook page. All the announcements about lectures, trips, holidays, activities, everything on my Facebook page. Every 15 minutes, a new article I post, in average. Every 15 minutes, something new. Videos, articles, ideas, announcements. Very, very entertaining pages I have. Baruch Hashem, so far on the pages, we have 72,000 people. And it's growing. Baruch Hashem, hundreds of people joining every week. If you're already in the Facebook, you must go into that page. If you're not in Facebook, better you don't start. Better you don't go in. If you're already there, let's direct you to a positive page instead of all the other corrupted pages. Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks.